WHO.
That's WHBO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHBO. Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country, 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And good morning. This is the People Speak. I'm Jeff. Hope you're having a good morning. I'm going to be talking this morning, first time since last school year, with Dr. Gabe Schwimmer from the Sparta School District. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Trying to stay out of the heat.
It is very hot. Yes.
Definitely. So, well, I guess, I mean, we'll just jump right in because I know you've got a lot of stuff that you're wanting to talk about, a lot of things, different things that are going on in.
I have three hot topics today that are very informational issues that I think are pretty important for the community, just to kind of inform and clear up kind of any misunderstandings. I think most important is for our community to be educated on new things that come out. A lot of times things are released, Senate bills are adopted or signed by the governor, and we see those and we react because maybe some of the content is alarming. Mm-hmm. And we don't quite get the whole story. So I wanted to kind of share that just to kind of put our community at ease. So first of all, we in education, we have what's called a mandated units of study. So that's what we have to teach every year. Those are established by the Illinois State Board of Education, and the Regional Office of Education pushes that out to us every year. And they audit us. They come back and check off that we're teaching those things. There are things that say you have to teach this, and there are things that say you can teach this, but you don't have to. So one of the recent things that just came out that's a hot topic that I'd like to talk about is Senate Bill 818, most likely known as the Sex Education Standards for Illinois K through 12. So there are some conflicting information. There's some very aggressive things in there that is being suggested to being taught to kids. What I want the community to know is that those are voluntary standards that have not even been developed by the state board yet, and they're not to be implemented until July 1st of 2023. They actually modified those to add a provision to remove the word requiring. So it says you may teach those. I'm not naive. I know in our community we have 30 different churches. So what that says to myself and the Board of Education and our teachers is our community is sending a clear message that there are certain things they want to educate their own children on. So sex education is probably one of those. So that's not something that that we're probably going to teach. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, it is extremely hard to get through our math and English curriculum in the day, let alone our science and social studies. I mean, we're jam-packed. So that is not something as of today. And like I said, those standards have not even, there's suggested language in the bill of what to include. in those standards, but they haven't even been drafted by the State Board of Education yet. They're going to have a committee of parents and teachers and state board members and things like that to get input on that. But when those are drafted and are released in 2023, you know, we'll look at them then, but that's not something that I anticipate that we will adopt. So
at this point, it's a recommendation, not a mandate.
Absolutely. Yes, it's totally voluntary. So I just want everybody to kind of calm down on that. Because, I mean, as a mother, too, I read some of that and think, nope, don't want my son to learn that in fifth grade either. So I totally understand the concern. And that was definitely one that I wanted to start off by clearing up some concern.
Okay. All right, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk some more with Dr. Gabe Schwimmer from the Sparta School District here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Talking with Dr. Gabe Schwimmer here on The People Speak. You were talking about one of the hot buttons out right now, but there's more than just one. Another one you'd mention, I guess, is what's being called a critical race theory argument?
Yes, so there is a lot of confusion centered around the abbreviation CRT. And part of the confusion, I can admit myself, and I feel like I can talk about this topic. This is actually what I did my dissertation on. CRT to some people is critical race theory. CRT in the education world is culturally responsive teaching. Two totally different things. So what I think that a lot of church activists are concerned with is critical race theory is an academic movement of civil rights activism, talks about race. It challenges American liberal approaches to racial justice. So that has a lot to do with like protesting and things like that. So I can understand with the whole Black Lives Matter movement, that was something that was talked about a lot in the last recent year. That is not something that is taught at Sparta High School or at Sparta Lincoln or at Evansville Attendance Center. What's come about in the last year as far as CRT in the education world is culturally responsive teaching. We have a new set of standards called culturally responsive teaching and leading standards. And this is what my whole doctorate and dissertation was focused around. So in October of 2021 is really when the work is to start around this so that we can fully implement in 2025. Basically, it's a set of standards that adds on to our professional learning standards. And it adds on to understanding different cultures, student backgrounds, knowing what our own biases are, learning from other children's experiences, character development, social emotional learning, learning how to welcome different communities. We are, as a school district, already doing this. So we do circles in class. We do restorative justice, restorative practices. So this is not anything that we're going to have to change any of our teaching methods. Those standards are out. They're already on the State Board of Education website. I have a copy in my office if anybody ever wants to come through and look. So it's very much telling educators, just be more inclusive. Like if you're going to have a poster of a Caucasian student in your class, and you have a class full of different cultures and diverse ethnicities and things like that, have different cultures and ethnicities on your wall as well, so that your students can become more comfortable in your classroom. That's something I strongly believe in. I mean, that's part of the reason why we choose to have a waiver in our district to allow teachers to bring their own children to school with them, so that they have that opportunity to expose their own kids to different cultures and be around diversity. I mean, my my son loves it here, loves the different culture, loves the experience, loves the diversity. And so we're already doing this. So CRT in the education world at Sparta School District is not anything to fear, because you live in Sparta. I mean, you choose to have your kids go to a school district that is extremely diverse. Your community's very diverse. So I think that there's been a lot of confusion around that. And so I wanted to clear that up. I mean, when churches and some of the groups originally came out and said, oh my gosh, you're teaching CRT. I thought, what's the big deal? Of course we are. Mm-hmm. Of course we're teaching, you know, teachers and kids to be culturally responsive. Well, when I dug and did research and looked into critical race theory, I thought, oh my God, no wonder the community would be irate and upset about thinking that we were addressing critical race theory in our classrooms, which we are not. And if there's ever a time that was something that was being addressed, I mean, that we would need to know that on an individual basis, because that's not something that we condone. I mean, we're definitely about equity and equal opportunity and appreciating and loving all of our culture and embracing the diversity. That's what makes Sparta original and so great. I mean, that's part of why I think most of us love being here. Is that diversity. So that was one of the main things that I really wanted to clear up. I know that that Travis at County Journal, we've done a lot of conversation around this, and hopefully he'll have time to write a piece on this just so that people know the difference. You know, in social media, there's been a lot of vocal activists that are really talking about critical race theory and trying to connect that to schools. And I think that's wrong. Right. You know, we're not doing that. That's not our goal, and that's not our focus in school districts. But as far as trying to make a more culturally responsive atmosphere, we absolutely are doing that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's like I was telling you before we went on the air too and stuff. You know, I see a lot of different things that come across Facebook, some of the other social media that. But before I jump on board with anything, I want some other sources in there before I make any decisions on where my stance is on it.
Absolutely. Yes. And that's why, I mean, I always encourage people, when you see something come out, like a Senate bill or new standards, check them. And don't check, like, an article or, you know, check the source that it comes from. Mm-hmm. I always like to go to the actual, like Illinois legislator piece it is kind of hard to read, that actual piece of legislation. You have to kind of weed through it before you actually get to the meat of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely keep yourself informed so that, cause that you can get excited about what's being taught in your children's school, as you should. Absolutely.
Right.
But I just want people to know that, to rest assured that we're not trying to transform children into robots and persuade them and force our opinions onto kids. That's not our purpose. We're there to teach them content, and develop them into good characters, without forcing our opinions onto them.
Before you make a verbal attack on someone, make sure you got your facts right.
Yes, that would be appreciated. Yep.
All right, we got another break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick, and we'll be back. You're listening to The People Speak on Rural Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Welcome back again. Talking today with Dr. Gabe Schwimmer from the Sparta School District, and a lot of things going on these days with education and the general public. I mean, it just... one of those things, and obviously, you know, with this latest surge in COVID or the Delta variant, I guess, you know, and we got another topic there that's kind of been in the news lately.
My least favorite topic of all, contrary to popular belief, I do not love masks, but I do want to give some background Just some information on schools' hands being tied as far as the executive order 2021-18 that Governor Pritzker came out with on August 4th, stating that all pre-K to 12 schools will be masked while indoors. You know, this is still, he does have the authority to do this because we are still in a state of an emergency. So he basically has reinstated a state of emergency every 30 days. So a state of emergency has 30 days to be active. Well, he has reinstated that. He's coordinated this with the CDC and the American Academy of Pediatrics. So our Board of Education does not have the authority to deny that order since we are in that state of emergency. So basically what we voted on last month was a resolution to support whether we support or deny the mask mandate. And with the variant being so high in our community, they obviously voted to support it because it was, we had astounding research showing that mask is a form of mitigation that helps reduce the risk of infection in schools. So that is why we're doing it. But I wanted to outline some of the risk involved for some of the schools that are not following it. And by the way, you'll start to see in the news that those that were not following it are now following it for these reasons. So there is legal liability. You actually forego your tort liability if you go against an executive order. So what that means is if a board member were to say, or if a board were to say, nope, we're not following that, you know, don't mask when you're at school. If a child were to get sick while at school and unfortunately, let's say, go on a ventilator, and something serious happened, those medical bills could then be the personal responsibility of those board members. So not always necessarily the public responsibility, the school district's responsibility, but their personal liability, since they would forego that tort liability. As far as the State Board of Education is concerned, they are using their regulatory authority pursuant to it's called 23 Illinois Admin Code 1.20. I know that's legal lingo, but it's to ensure that school districts protect staff and students, or they risk their state recognition. And what that means is they have 60 days to remedy their deficiency, so they would go on probation. So if you don't wear masks, they're saying you're risking the safety of students and your staff, so you're on probation. So they have 60 days to submit a corrective action plan. If they don't, then they're risking their total access to state funding, you know, which in our case, state and federal were a little over $8 million. So that's a enormous amount of staff. They also lose the ability to participate in IHSA athletics. So, you know, if you have any athletes that are in the pipeline to be recruited for college for athletics, that's done. You know, there's a lot of kids that athletics is what keeps them out of trouble. They go to school because of athletics. I mean, it develops their character. And also, their diplomas would not be recognized. So, that's a big deal because it also deprives them of certain scholarships that they can write for and things like that. So, I mean, with that, it's really, it's not a my decision. It's not a board decision. This is truly a governor decision, pushing it down to the state board decision.
Basically, what it's saying is, this is what we're asking you to do. If you choose not to do it, you're on your own.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is right now. Most importantly, our kids comply. we have kids that that I know would wear them if you told them. I mean, I had kids recording our new voicemail the other day because we had principals change, and I said, you know, when you're up here, you can pull your mask down to record them. They didn't want to. They weren't comfortable taking the mask down. I think that some of them are kind of programmed to keep them up and stay healthy. And I think that is kind of sad. You know, this pandemic is definitely going to change us in so many ways. But it's not about opinion or choice or anything. I mean, we're doing what we have to do to keep our kids safe right now. And we're doing what we have to do to legally protect our school district. I look so forward to the day that this is over. I mean, our state superintendent kind of said it. I kind of can resonate with this. You know, she said we have a little discomfort right now. It's kind of similar to wearing like a football helmet or a seatbelt. It's for the sake of safety and law right now. So that's kind of a way to look at it. We don't want anything to happen to anyone in our school district. Unfortunately, I think there's been three that I know of documented cases of children. One was in Chicago that have been gone to school, contracted the Delta variant, and have passed away from it. So don't want that to happen. We want to get through this. I hope that if vaccination is the answer, that people get vaccinated. I hope if masking's the answer, we mask until it's over. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not a medical professional, and I don't claim to be. But I look forward to the day where we can be back to somewhat relative normalcy again. These kids deserve it. I see the impact it's having on mental health. We're working daily with administration to try to come up with some resources for our kids and our staff. We do have a grant from the American Academy of Pediatrics that in September, we're starting that conversation. So I'm excited to see what kind of resources they have, especially since they are, excuse me, one of the informants to the governor on all these decisions, not just to the governor, but I mean, to the world on COVID. So I'm looking forward to that partnership. So I don't know. I'm tired of it. I'm ready for it to be over. I just want everybody to be safe and happy and healthy and
right.
And continue to learn. We're very fortunate to be back in person learning. And I'll tell you what, our kids are learning. I walk through those classrooms and they're resilient. They're really working hard. We have the best district and best kids. You know that. You drive our bus and you right. get to see them and they're
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that's true.
We're fortunate.
Because I know I remember the remote learning in that. I mean, I remember myself when I'm taking a class online. It's a lot hard. I mean, you've got to really work to motivate yourself to focus on, you know, because there's so many distractions around you that you wouldn't have when you're in the classroom.
And you were probably a little older when you took those online classes. Imagine being a kindergartner or a first grader.
Enough trouble, you know, keeping my focus whenever I was in school then in class, you know. I mean, I could imagine it, trying to do it online.
Yeah. Just. Yes.
So hopefully we can.
We'll get through it together. We're stronger together. We know that.
All right. Well, looks like we're about out of time. But Dr. Gabe, thanks for stopping in today. Good to hear from you again now. And I guess under the new school year, we'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you.
All right. That will wrap things up. For the People Speak, I am Jeff. We will talk to you again tomorrow.